Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week, we're going to be giving Laura a break. So you guys are stuck with me for the entirety of this episode. So if you want to log off now, I understand completely. The reason I'm going solo today is because we're going to give Laura a break. She's been working very, very hard the last good few weeks. She's been working relentlessly and has had very, very little time off. When we do this podcast, Laura has to plan the podcast. Then she sits down with me to record the podcast. Then she has to do the Instagram page, the newsletter that normally accompanies it, and the show notes. So it's a lot of work for Laura to do the podcast. So I thought I would suggest to her that maybe we should ask the community if they have any questions for me. And if they did, we could turn it into a podcast episode all by itself. And we got loads and loads and loads of questions, which is both humbling and frightening all at the same time. And I'm going to do my best to answer the questions in the best way I can. But before we get into the questions, we have a review of the week. And this is from Favela Art. Dear Laura and Richie, thank you so much for your relatable and authentic podcast. It is a refreshing discussion about art, art business, and life as an artist without all the fluff and hype you hear in other podcasts. I am an art teacher and artist myself, so I appreciate clear, concise, and thoughtful communication about this field. I am wondering if you would mind doing a podcast about visibility and finding your audience. I have been developing my practice for the last 13 years, have a website, and am part of a multiple online galleries and bricks and mortar galleries. I have my own newsletter. I'm on multiple social media sites, but don't seem to be making much traction. Being in my mid-40s, having two young kids and working 5 days is very tricky in terms of gaining time to progress in my business. It can sometimes be disheartening to see friends, even though I love they are gaining success to become full-time artists, when I have been working hard for so long. I would appreciate any advice you have to give. Many thanks for the positivity you inject into people's lives, Rachel. Oh, Rachel, that's a lovely review, and thank you very much. I understand. I really, really get what it's like to see people, and especially your peers, do a lot better than you or progress faster. And that goes for not just social media and art, but that goes for the workplace and sports and just life in general. So all I can really say is just continue with your truth. Follow your path. You can't compare yourself to others, even though it's almost impossible sometimes to not to. You just have to believe in your process and just keep on doing what you're doing, and you'll get there, and you'll get to where you want to be. I hope that helps you, Rachel. And again, thank you very, very much for that beautiful review. Okay, so into the questions. So what I've done with these questions is I've kind of broken them into three categories. Personal, as in questions about me personally, what I do as a creative, and technical. So the technical side of our business. So here we go. In no particular order. It's very weird sitting here talking to myself. Laura did offer to come and sit alongside me and kind of have a discussion, but I just wanted to give her the entire podcast off. So here we go. What part of Ireland am I from? Well, I'm from Dublin in Ireland. It's the capital city on the East Coast. And another question was, do I miss Dublin? Yes, I miss Dublin very much, but I'm very lucky to live in a fantastic place, South Australia, which is unbelievable. So even though I miss Dublin and my family, I have an amazing life here in Australia. How did you guys meet? Laura threw herself at me. I was working in a company in London and Laura was traveling at the time and she got a job in the same company as me as a temp. I asked her out and yeah, never looked back. So we met in London, moved to Ireland, got married, had Sophia, and then moved to Australia. And that's where we live now with, Laura, me, Sophia and Asher. What attracted me to photography? The reason I picked this question is because I got into photography because of a mistake I made. I had bought a camera to photograph our daughter Sophia when she was born. And I bought this Sony camera. It's an old point and shoot camera called a Cyber Shoot, I think it was called. And I had it on the wrong setting. I had it to shoot JPEG fine, which is the smallest file size you can shoot an image on. And when I brought the files into the computer to download them so we could print them, files were the size of postage stamps. It was absolutely devastating. All these photographs of Sophia as an infant, when she was born, in the hospital with her mammy, just unusable files. I had made such a huge mistake. And I swore that I would never let that happen again. So I started to learn photography. I had a motorbike at the time and I sold my motorbike. I then bought some camera gear, just very basic camera gear. And I went on this amazing journey learning about photography and lighting and audio and video. And I never looked back. What podcasts do I listen to around art and creativity? Well, I do two things. I listen to podcasts and I subscribe to some YouTube channels. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the ones that my favorite ones. So what I'll do is I'll just give you a couple of my very, very favorite podcasts and a couple of my favorite YouTube channels. For podcasts, I listen to The Director's Cut. And it's an amazing podcast that they get to talk to all the top Hollywood directors when a new film release comes out. And they have open and honest discussion about the problems and the issues they had while shooting the movie. And then obviously how amazing it was. And they talk about the actors and just a phenomenal podcast, which I love very, very much. And then I listen to the Film Riot podcast. So those guys are also over on YouTube as well, Film Riot. Ryan Connolly is the guy there. Yeah, they started off as this indie, self-taught film family, basically, because they're brothers and sisters. Yeah, they make amazing short movies. And I'm hopefully Ryan is very close to getting his directorial debut on a large film. So fingers crossed for him. So yeah, that's podcasts. That's The Director's Cut and Film Riot podcast. And on YouTube, I love Studio Binder. Studio Binder is just amazing. They break down the director's thoughts and vision, and they talk about composition and meaning. And oh, it's just phenomenal. You know, I think there's an episode on how to convey fear through the camera or how to build tension in a scene. It's just a phenomenal YouTube channel. You should really, really check that out. And that's for video. For photography, Jamie Windsor is my favorite YouTuber around photography. He's intellectual. He's very articulate. He's an amazing photographer. And yeah, you just go check him out. I can't even begin to describe how awesome he is. And then for inspiration, there's a YouTube channel with a guy called Bo Miles, and he's an Australian filmmaker, but he's also a teacher in a school, and he's a runner, and he's a carpenter, and he films himself doing the most amazing things. And if I ever think that I'm not good enough, or the equipment that I have isn't the right equipment, I just look at his videos, and he is all about done is better than perfect. He is an amazing human being. He gives me lots and lots and lots of inspiration. He's a very, very inspirational guy. And I would love it if you all just went and had a look at him, because he's amazing. He's really, really good. So on to some creative questions. How has my venture with Laura Horn Art grown me as a creative? The best thing that ever happened to me was going full time as a creative. It's a hard thing to describe. Like, when you're working part time in an office job or construction or whatever your job is, and then you come home and you try and unwind, and then you have to go and do your hobby, it's very difficult to kind of switch on and switch off. And what I found that when I was working creatively all the time, I would make a mistake and then I would fix that mistake and it would rarely happen again. When I was working part-time, I found I was making the same mistakes over and over again. So we would film and I would forget to turn the audio on. Or we would film and I wouldn't set the white balance correctly. And then when we were finished filming, we'd both go back to our jobs, working 9 to 5, you know, collecting the kids from childcare, all that kind of stuff. And then we'd organize a day to film again. But it would be 5 or 6 days later. And then we'd move in to do the filming. And I was finding I was making the same mistakes again. I would forget to turn the audio on. I wouldn't set the white balance properly. Now, I guess I could have had a checklist or a to-do list. That would have been the smart thing to do, I guess. But what I'm trying to say is that when I was doing it day in, day out, constantly, I was getting much better at making sure everything was correct. The best thing that's come out of the venture, I guess, with working with Laura and in the business, is that I get to do it constantly. I'm being creative all the time, taking photographs, videoing Laura, working on the podcast. Like, I'm just constantly, constantly being creative, you know, which is amazing. I've mentioned I've been working on my own projects. Can you tell us about them? Okay, well, I have a couple of projects that I'm working on currently, and it's quite slow. The main one is, there's an organization here in South Australia that I've been working with for the last 6 months, and they have a lot of older members in the organization. And what we're doing is, or what I'm attempting to do, is document the older people's journey in this organization. So it's a series of interviews. They probably won't see the light of day. They're for this organization and this organization only, and they will keep them in their records. And it's a very beautiful experience talking to people who are basically on their way out. And we just want to get some kind of documentation of their lives and how this organization has helped them and what it's meant to them and their families. So that's a beautiful project that I'm working on, which I'm very proud of and I love doing. Another question is, and this is being asked quite a lot, what is your best advice for a husband and wife or other duo team? My best bit of advice I could give to anyone in a team is to understand what your part in the relationship is. Be at peace, be okay with where you are in the relationship. So all I can say is that when Laura and I start working together, it's very, very clear that this business is Laura Horn Art. Like, it's very, very clear. You know, if God forbid something was to happen to me, Laura could hire someone to do what I do. But if something was to happen to Laura, I couldn't hire another Laura. Do you know what I'm saying? So I understand where I am in the hierarchy of Laura Horn Art. And it wasn't easy to make peace with that. It wasn't easy for me to play second best to my wife. And as much as I love her and I support her and I want the best for her and I want her to chase her dreams, there was a little part of me, like, egotistical for sure, and a bit of fear and maybe even a tiny bit of resentment. And I had to deal with that. And there was no other way for our business to continue unless I dealt with that. So I had to put all of that aside or it would never have worked. And I honestly thought that I was losing a bit of my manhood, you know, my masculinity was under threat because simple things like having to pick up the kids so Laura can do her work, you know, cooking dinner, doing the shopping, like all the stuff that, you know, traditionally the men aren't supposed to do, which is funny because I'm a very, very masculine guy. And it's funny that, you know, now I live a life that's beyond my wildest dreams. I have so much time to do the most amazing things for other people and for my family. So all of those doubts and all of those insecurities that I had were so unfounded and ungrounded feelings and thoughts. So I think the best advice I could give to any husbands out there, just take a step back. Don't take it as a personal attack on your, you know, masculinity or your manhood that you are now going to be in the back seat. You know, you're not driving the car or whatever. So yes, the business or the art business will make your relationship with your wife so much stronger, better, more secure. You'll feel a lot more confident, believe it or not, that you're working together and you're doing this amazing thing. So I kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there. I hope that answered that question. I'm not too sure if it did or not, but I'm moving on. Do I have my own social media? I used to have my own social media. I used to have a creative company called Tricolor Media. And what happened was I was not having the time to do the jobs that were coming in because I was working with Laura, and I work with Laura exclusively now. I took down my website because I don't pay for it anymore. I removed my domain name. I don't have a social media page. I just have a private media page, social media page on Instagram and Facebook. And that's it. I do some private work for some architects and some builders. And I do the odd creative work for people who might reach out to me. So if I can, I will. So I'm in the middle of editing a project for a cleaning company here in Adelaide. That was just a guy I met at the gym. He said, "Oh, Richie, could you help me out? I want to do an advertisement that I can send to some builders because I'm getting into commercial cleaning." And I said, "Yeah, okay, we can sort something out. We can do something." And so something like that. So I don't have my own company social media. I just have my own personal social media. How do I balance my personal passions versus working with Laura Horn Art? It's very easy. I just need to set boundaries. So I need to make sure that I don't say yes to something that will overlap with the work I do with Laura. And I'm a devil for it. I am constantly saying yes to things. And then when I get back to my diary, realizing I've double booked. So I don't know whether that's just me being a people pleaser or whatever. So I just need to set boundaries around things like that. My own personal passions are boxing. I'm a boxing coach and I work with professional fighters here in South Australia. I also do some work with the UFC, which before COVID required an awful lot of travel. Yeah, we just used to put it up on the whiteboard on the fridge and we put all the dates in when I was traveling. And yeah, so we just need to set the boundaries around, and our business comes first. So if something comes up for me to do, Laura and I will sit down And the great thing about Laura is she never says no. You know, we sit down and we try our best to juggle things. So she'll say, let's move the filming on Tuesday to Monday. Let's record the podcast on the Wednesday and release it on the Wednesday. And then that frees you up on Thursday and a half day Friday to go and do whatever it is I'm going to do. Now, if we try and juggle everything around and it doesn't work, then we just say no. And that's completely fine. That, like, there's no, I don't get angry. I don't get resentful. I get sad, of course, because there's some things I really want to do. And sometimes you just can't do them. But it's never, Laura has never, ever said no. She's always, you know, been very supportive of me. And we always try and do it. And sometimes I see Laura struggling with trying to fix things and, you know, reorganize. I just say, look, stop. Just stop what you're doing. I'll say no. It's fine. So, So the balance with my personal passions and Laura Horn art, it's a great balance. It's awesome. It's very rare that I don't get to do what I want to do. Okay, some tech questions. Here we go. How many cameras do I use, or do I just move around a lot? Okay, I do move around a lot, but I use 3 cameras. I have a camera which I call the A camera, and that's the camera that faces Laura. So when you see Laura talking to the camera, that's the camera that I call camera A. I then have an overhead camera, which I just call camera OH for overhead. So depending on what Laura is painting will determine on how high I set the overhead camera, because I use a prime lens for the overhead camera. What you'll find is that if you use a zoom lens, you tend to put the zoom lens on its widest zoom. And wide zooms have a little bit of distortion on them, so it can kind of bow at the edges. So I use a prime lens, normally a 35 millimeter lens. So I then, depending on what Laura is painting on, if it's a large piece of paper or if it's a scrapbook, or whether we want to get her mixing palette in the shot, or whether we only want to have the surface she's painting on in the shot, it determines on how high I set the camera from the table. And then I have camera B, which is the camera I carry in my hand. Sometimes I go handheld. Sometimes I put it on a tripod and I just move around Laura as she paints. So Laura is right-handed, so there's no point in me really filming from over her right shoulder, because all you would see is her hand and the brush. So I need to come over her left shoulder where we can see what she's actually painting. So sometimes I move from her left shoulder around on front of her. So shooting, it's almost like I'm shooting upside down. And if she's doing some mark making, I might nip across to the right and shoot in from the right. So 3 cameras, 1 overhead, locked off on a tripod. Camera A, which is a main camera that Laura speaks to, locked off on a tripod, and then me moving around with a camera handheld. I see you zoom in your videos. When I do that, I get the zoom sound in my video. The reason you don't hear any of my movements, and I make a lot of noise, by the way, the reason you don't hear any of the noises I make is because I have Laura on a separate audio track. So we record Laura's voice into a Zoom recorder. So that allows me then to edit Laura's voice just like you would edit a photograph. So we can get rid of external sounds and make her voice more clear. Because the microphone is off the camera, you don't hear any of the noises the camera makes. And then when I'm in the editing program, I only edit the audio where it's clean. So when Laura's talking, if I trip over the cat or something has a big squeal, I just don't put that noise in the video. I remove it. So yes, The reason you're hearing your Zoom sound is because the microphone you're using, whether that's the microphone in the camera or whether your microphone is on top of your camera, it's so close to the Zoom, you can actually hear it. So, yeah, I don't use the audio from the cameras as my final audio. I have a separate audio track for that, which I sync up later in post. How do I take nice pictures of my art in regards to nice lighting? I love natural light. When I first started taking photographs of Laura's art, I was experimenting with all types of light. Flash photography, powerful strobes, constant light, everything. There's only two main reasons that you're taking photographs of your art for. One is for social media, so people can see it on your social media with the potential of selling it, or just putting it out there so people can like and comment on your art. The second reason, which is a lot more technical, is you're taking photographs of your art because you want to print it so you can sell it. Now, that's two completely different reasons to be taking photographs of your art. If you are only taking it for your social media, find the best natural light in your house. If you have no good natural light in your house, go outside your house, a nice shaded area where the light is even. Put your camera or your phone on a tripod if you can. And all the tripod does is it just takes any movement out of your camera and it just makes your images a little bit sharper. So, yeah, try and shoot in natural light where you can. If there's no natural light where you are, go and find some. Right? So that's either outside your house, in your garden, in your garage, wherever. And always throw in some props. I love props, especially props with the contrast to the art that you're shooting. Could I recommend a camera for art? When someone asks me what's a good camera to get, I always ask them, do they have friends with cameras? Because if they have friends who are into photography, it's always a good idea to get into that system. The reason I'm saying that is I bought my camera gear from Nikon when I first got into photography. And when I started getting out there and doing more photography, I became friends with other photographers and they all shot Canon. And I'd be going to do a job and I'd need a lens. And I was like, oh my God, and I could just borrow that lens from my friend Derek or Jeremy or whoever. And their camera lenses didn't fit on my camera body. And I said to myself, I should have just thought this through. So if you are thinking of buying a camera and you have other artist friends or you have photography friends, see what they're shooting with and maybe think about getting the same kind of camera. So if you ever, let's say you have a problem with a battery and you can't get a new one, at least you can ring them up and say, hey, can I borrow a couple of your batteries? Or if you need a lens or a light or whatever. So it's always good to consider that before you buy a camera. Second of all, you may as well get a camera that does two things well. So that's take photographs and shoot video. Most modern cameras will shoot photographs that are above and beyond anything that you will need in your art career. So it doesn't really matter whether your camera shoots 20 megapixels, 24 megapixels, or 50 megapixels. The higher you go up, the more expensive your camera will get. But you don't need a really, really large megapixel count to do social media photography. So just keep that in mind. And if you are going to shoot some video and if you think that you're going to be talking to your camera, get a camera that in video mode has really strong follow focus. So we shoot with Canon here and Canon have a very famous dual pixel autofocus system. When you're on the camera, the camera's autofocus will just follow your face. It will latch onto your eye and it will follow your face. So if you move in and out of frame while you're filming yourself, or if you look down to your painting and then look back up to the camera will keep you in focus. So that's very, very important if you're filming yourself. Canon also have flip-out screens so you can see where you are in the composition. So that's another important thing. So I don't want to recommend a certain camera to you guys. I just want you to take those three things that we spoke about and make your own decision on that. Could I please do a course on how to make videos? Probably, most likely, no, because I don't like being on camera. I'm not very confident and I don't really like putting myself out there. So if we ever did do a course on how to make videos, we would probably do it together as a team, Laura and I. And again, you know, where do you stop? Like how far do you go? Do you do filming for beginners? Do you do filming for people who want to sell online classes? Do you do just videos for how to make a video for social media? Like, it's a really broad spectrum of filming. That's something Laura and I would have to think about. You know, could we do a couple of courses, maybe even split them up, you know, beginner's guide to filming, you know, where you could just have one camera and you could do your introduction to the camera while you're facing it, and then switch it to overhead and you could film yourself painting, and then you could maybe do a voiceover and then an outro. So yeah, we could do something like that for a beginner. That could be it. And one last question. You and Laura seem like a match made in heaven, but how do I cope with her? I'm very, very lucky with Laura. She is exceptionally professional. She has the most amazing capacity to bounce back from a setback, which is much better than I am. When she has a bad day, she just gets quiet. You know, she goes quiet. She wants to watch TV. She wants to be left alone. And when she wants to vent, I sit down and I listen to her. Before, I used to try and answer her while she was venting, reassure her that everything's fine. And it's almost patronizing. You know, all she wants to do is just get it off her chest. She doesn't need me telling her how amazing she is. She made a mistake. The painting didn't go well that day. She just wants to forget about it and move on and then, you know, just vent. So what I do is when she has her bad days, and they're not that often, you know, or maybe, see, that's the great thing about Laura. You know, if she has a bad day, sometimes you mightn't even know about it. She just picks herself up and she cracks on. And we joke about it sometimes that she's like very obsessive. Like, there are times where she'll be on that computer for a long time. And not only will I notice it, but the kids notice it too. She's becoming really, really good at separating life from work. But that took a long time. Like, that took 2 or 3 years to like really set up her own boundaries around Laura Horn Art and our family. How do I cope with her? I just hang on tight and enjoy the ride. No, we have an excellent relationship. Well, I think we do anyway. She's very easy to love. She's very easy to laugh with. She's very easy going. You know, she makes me smile every day. Every day she makes me smile. Like, you know, she catches me looking at her out of the corner of her eye and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong at all. You know, I love her deeply. And, you know, I'm very, very proud of her. And when she wants to vent, the very least I can do is just be quiet, listen to her, ask her if she wants a cup of tea, sometimes she'll ask me to run out and get her a hot cross bun or something, and I'll run out and get it. And I don't do that because we're in business together. I don't do that because she's the mother of my children. I don't do that because I'm married to her. I do that because I love her. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And that's it from me. And we'll be back again next week. See ya.